and welcome to the Game Theory Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Vecini. We are presented by The Athletic. Today on the show, Robbie Calland is back. We're going to run through the Western Conference win total over-unders. Robbie, I'm trying to bring the energy, but we're recording this right after we just ran through a 95-minute podcast on the Eastern Conference win total over-unders. Robbie, we just talked, but how you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. Let's do this. I'm ready. You know we love over-under season.
It's the
I still got energy.
It's the best. It's our favorite time of the year to randomly not invest a crazy amount of money in things that like only sort of kind of matter.
That's correct.
But they're the
absolute
best discussion points that Vegas releases every year, I think, in my opinion. Like, I love it so
much. I agree. I think, you know, like, it's a nice, you know, barometer for where the smart folks see the league. And it's a nice time to try and see if you can, where you think you can find some edges. And, that's always fun. It's a nice area to begin conversation, and I'd much rather do this than MVP.
We are going to talk about MVP at some point, though.
I wrote the column. I'm ready.
Okay.
But, like, I'm prepared for MVP talk, but, like, you know which one I will never bet on is Defensive Player of the Year.
What is Anthony Davis at for Defensive Player of the Year?
He's the favorite.
I think he should be.
Which is probably correct, but, like, I don't bet favorites, really.
Yeah. Do you have the number in front of you?
Give me just a moment.
Let's see.
Talk about something.
Well, the reason that I think Anthony Davis probably wins Defensive Player of the Year is because NBA voters still don't really know how to judge defense for the most part.
It's a narrative award.
Yeah, it's a narrative award. And while NBA voters are 75 times better than college basketball voters in terms of what they reward, I do think that, like, Anthony Davis, what he did in the playoffs last year really opened people's eyes to just, like, oh shit, this guy is, like, the best defender in the NBA right now.
Let me tell you what the worst award you can bet on is, and that is most improved player.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
That's a real rough one. He is plus 225, which is low.
Yeah, it's too low. I wouldn't bet that, but
Giannis is 325, Gobert's 375, Bam 750, Embiid 10-1.
I like that.
Embiid 10-1, Simmons 20-1, Kawhi 20-1. So you get to long shots from there.
I like Embiid at 10-1 quite a bit.
Bet online numbers. It's where they're at. I also hate rookie of the year odds this year.
Yeah, I don't like them either. I was not really a fan.
Don't like anything. Don't like much of anything there.
Like, there's a chance that Obi Toppin just puts up like 17-8 because who else is going to? But then there's also a chance that, like, Julius Randle and him are unplayable together, and
and you're paying one of those guys $20 million.
Yeah. Okay.
They're like the Spider-Man meme-y type area there.
Let's talk about Western Conference teams again. These are Westgate numbers because Westgate is the most important place in our lives. Robbie Calland and I.
Shots to the Superbook. See you soon, baby.
We're going to go in the order which the conference is projected, essentially, by Vegas. So Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Mavericks. They have the four highest NBA win totals, and then we'll go down from there. Over-unders. So let's start with the Lakers. The Lakers, 46.5.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this number. This is one of the few that I love in the West.
Okay.
How are you feeling before I make my case?
I don't feel as strongly. Like, I understand. I'm assuming you're over.
I am. Yeah.
I assume you're over, and I understand. I'm a little afraid of how many games LeBron plays this year, because I could see him taking a semi-sabbatical at some point, kind of like he did in Cleveland when he went to Miami for 2 weeks with, like, the back injury, when really he just wanted to get out of there for a little time. I don't think he's necessarily going to do that because he's, like, not going to want to escape LA. But, like, I'm interested to see how they do load management, and I think they are the team, even more so than really the Clippers, because, like, this is what the Clippers do. Like, the Clippers have a system for Kawhi and stuff. But the Lakers, even more so, I'm really interested to see how they handle this, because they are the team coming off the finals that has talked the most about this and made it the clearest that this is going to happen. However, I'm going to assume part of your point is they added some better regular season players this year.
It is. And I talked about this on the last podcast, or the second to last podcast with Danny LaRue. Like, I actually think that the specific players that they added help them ease the burden of losing LeBron for 20 games in the regular season. Marc Gasol, like, is a very competent NBA big man. Montrezl Harrell is the guy who won sixth man of the year, and he can get buckets and can, like, really help them offensively. A Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell pick and roll is going to be very good as a second unit option when Anthony Davis and LeBron James are off the court.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Matthews is essentially like a like-for-like replacement with Danny Green. I think Danny's a little bit better in terms of team defense, but nonetheless.
Sure.
This is a team that I think is more tailor-made to withstand a two-week sabbatical from LeBron James if they want to. I would imagine Anthony Davis probably does not play more than 55 games this year, to be honest. Because why? But in the games that they do play, in year two of this like setup, with LeBron and Anthony Davis like having real chemistry now, I think they're gonna fucking murder. Like
they're gonna be incredible.
They might win 40 games out of the 55 that LeBron and AD play together.
That's fair.
And if you're telling me that I need six games, or seven games out of a remaining 17,
I guess the question is how many of those games where there's rest is there overlap? Because that's the question, right?
Yeah.
So if you have 50 games and you have 50 game, if you have two guys playing 55 games, they're not playing 55 together. You know, like they're going to stagger it. So it's like, do you get 30 games of them together? You know, like how many of these LeBron-less nights are going to coincide with the AD nights? And like, that's the interesting thing to me. And like, here's the thing, they're going to win a lot of those games.
Yeah.
Like I would not advocate the under. I lean over. I don't hate if you want to take it. I'm a little spooked off it, but again, I'm with you because they have added regular season players in spots where they didn't have them. Rajon Rondo is replaced by Dennis Schroeder. So now you have the question of, like, can Schroeder play in the playoffs? And, like, it's kind of interesting how they decided to balance this, where they're like, look, like, in the playoffs, we have LeBron and Anthony Davis. We'll be okay. We'll figure it out. We'll be okay. We have to get through this regular season. And I think the other thing with the Lakers is what's kind of funny about the top two teams in the West both being the LA teams. I don't think the Lakers give a damn about the one seed. Because guess what happens if the Clippers are the one seed? Do you know what that conference finals is?
Lakers home
series. It's seven home games for the Lakers.
Yep.
Because, like, by that time, they're hoping that fans will be able to be back and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I don't think they're going to be as concerned about that this year. They're not worried about building the chemistry between LeBron and AD. I think they'd be comfortable with those two playing. Let's say they play literally half the season together, 36 games. Like you said, they might go 30-6 in those, whatever. Yeah.
I think that they will. Like, I think that they're going to.
And that might be enough. And again, I think it could be. And I lean over, but I am a little afraid of the rest. But it might not be as bad as we're thinking. It might just not. Like, LeBron might take time in December and January and decide, like, I want to play a lot coming down the stretch. Who knows?
Well, maybe he'll do some active rest time, too.
Sure. He's been and that's the other thing. I think their defense slips this year in the regular season because I think we see LeBron kind of pick and choose spots a little more than he did last year because he knows now they can step it up, where I think last year was about kind of reasserting a culture there.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, and they got worse defensive players, too.
They did, yeah. Montrez like, and Dennis. Dennis is fine. Dennis, when he's engaged, is good. And he'll be engaged in L.A., so that could be good. But I did laugh a lot at Dennis's I'm a starter comment. That's always a good sign.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. He probably will be a starter, but yeah.
He will be a starter because like, it is funny. I do look forward to – I will say this. We're going to get some Mario Chalmers moments on the floor with Dennis and LeBron. Book it.
I don't know if it's going to be that bad, man.
Book it.
Dennis is way better than Mario was.
He is, but he's going to do some things.
He is going to do some things.
I know Dennis pretty well from his time in Atlanta and our times at the DS17 Lounge. Again, his confidence is part of why he's where he is. But there's – we'll see. Here's the thing, and this goes back to the Jeremy Grant rant I went on, which is like you would think that being as great as he was in the role he was asked to play in OKC, which was still like he was like the leading scorer and played 32 minutes a night. He just came off the bench.
Yeah.
Might have changed his perception of that role. Wrong. That's all I'm saying. Love Dennis, though. I hope he does well.
Okay. It's like the closest thing to a bet for me without being a bet, I think, for the Lakers. Okay. Like over for sure for me. And you're over as well, but you're a stay away.
Yeah, I'll lean there. Yeah, for sure.
Stay away for Robbie. Sam, maybe bet. Okay. Clippers, 45.5. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Clippers won 49 games. I can't quite figure out why this number is this low.
Yeah, this is one I would bet, which is over. Because here's the thing. The funny thing is, the Clippers aren't going to do more or less load management with Kawhi this year.
Yeah.
They already did that. You don't have to cook more of that in for this season. They didn't play that deep into the bubble.
Kawhi played 57 games last year. Paul George played 48 last year. They didn't have Marcus Morris for the first half of the season.
Paul George is going to play more games. Kawhi might play fewer.
Yeah, and like, look, they lost Montrezl Harrell. They lost, I guess the 50 games of Mo Harkless. They lose Jamichael Green. Sure.
Luke Kennard's an upgrade over Landry Shamet.
Yes. A very big one.
Especially for, I think. Yeah, and especially for what they need.
And you have to worry about Luke staying healthy, too. Like, Luke's knees are a concern.
He's had issues, but, like, he's also going to be in a role that I think will help that.
Yeah, agree.
Not being asked to do as much. Like you said, a full season of Marcus Morris. I think Paul George probably plays closer to that 57 number Kawhi played. And, like, for all the jokes, like, Paul George was really good last year.
Yeah.
In the regular season. Like, he's still a really good player.
Yep. Paul George shot 42% from three on 8 attempts from three last year.
He's a very good basketball player.
Yeah, like the fact that he has signed this max extension, like it's sensible for them to have done this.
This is kind of like the thing we talked about with Toronto and Milwaukee, which is like the questions for this team are exclusively postseason questions.
Well, here's the other thing too.
For me,
they upgraded, like going from Montrezl Harrell to Serge Ibaka is an enormous upgrade. I think
100%.
Like, not to disparage Montrez and the synergy he had with Lou Williams, but Kawhi and Paul George, like, they needed more space to be able to operate within the mid-range. Marcus Morris likes that space to operate in the mid-range, which, has mixed results, but it's what he likes to do.
Mm-hmm. And he's become at least a very good three-point shooter.
Yes. Yeah. He wasn't very good with the Clippers last year, but, like, I
not as great.
Believe in him getting open shots.
Sure.
From,
he was better in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was.
He was actually pretty good in the playoffs. But yes, I'm with you. And Ibaka can space the floor.
Serge can space the floor. And Serge is a legitimately good defender over Montrez, who is not a very good defender. So I think this team is better than they were last year.
I agree. Like, Reggie Jackson still is a competent backup point guard.
Yes.
You brought him back.
Like, still
there
Beverly.
Was some panic. Like, I think the thing with this team that I think the Montrez leaving for the Lakers thing created this panic. And then they got Serge and nobody really talked about it. But like you said, that was an upgrade. But it was one of those kind of like narrative over jokes over facts type thing, which like, oh, Montrez left him for their rival. And it's like, okay. Like that, it certainly matters, but it would have mattered more had they not gotten a really good replacement.
Yeah. It would have mattered for this particular conversation too, because...
Yes, because Montrez mattered to regular season winning.
Yes, he did.
But Serge was close to as productive an offensive player while being an upgrade defensive player.
Yeah, and was probably better as an offensive player whenever you account for the floor spacing and everything.
That's why I shifted my statement to production and not betterment.
But so, I think that this is a better team, and I think that they also... win more than 45 games or 46 games, I guess.
I feel pretty confident in that. I would bet that.
Okay. The Denver Nuggets, 44.5. This is a tough number, I think. And this is one that I have no desire to touch, period.
We're going to say that about approximately like 10 of the next ones.
Yeah. So what worries you most about this number? Because for me, it's... how healthy is Will Barton? How healthy is Gary Harris? And Michael Porter Jr. starter is terrifying to me in a number of capacities. But it could go exceptionally well.
Could be great.
And
they could be even better offensively, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
And like Jermichael Green fits. Like he'll be good in the regular season, I think.
Does Mike Malone end up trusting Bol Bol to play as the backup center? I'm unclear on that.
God, I hope so. For my entertainment.
Like they
not
gave
for the Nuggets' ability to win.
Well, like they gave Isaiah Hartenstein I think like 2 years, $4 million, and then
gave Bol Bol a real contract.
Gave Bol Bol a real contract, but like I wonder if Hartenstein eats some of those minutes. I don't think he will.
Well, I think here's what I'll say about Mike Malone that we know is like he will do what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of the reason Grant's not there anymore. Because like his rotations get weird and they change, and it's part of why they've been so successful is because he presses buttons and is willing to make the changes that some coaches wouldn't. But it also can lead to some frustration with guys, whatever. The thing about the Nuggets for me is like Jokic is super healthy all the time. And it's because like he doesn't do the things that get you hurt, right? What gets you hurt? Being an athlete. Running, jumping, those sorts of things. He doesn't do those things. He knows. He's like me at the NAU gym. Okay? We don't need to jump and do these things and risk landing on someone's foot. That's silly. Why would we do that? Why would we risk the health of our knees? You know what we'll do? We'll stay back here and we'll pass. We'll shoot. We'll be crafty as hell. I love it. I love it. And so for that reason, like he's going to play a ton. I don't worry about that. Jamal Murray? Who is he? Are you bubble Jamal? Probably not for a regular season. That seems impossible. But are you better than regular season Jamal has been? That would be cool. I hope to see that. I would like to see that. I'm not sure I believe that. The Jeremy Grant thing worries me more again come postseason time because of the defense. Not as much regular season. I'm with you. Like, this number seems right. I could see them winning 45, 46. I could see them winning 43. They're going to be good.
I mean, if Michael Porter is really good and Gary Harris and Will Barton are healthy,
they could be in the conversation for the 2 seed again.
Yes, they could win 50 games pretty easily, I think.
Yeah. But you got the health of the role guys, and you have MPJ, who is the ultimate high ceiling, low floor guy, maybe of any of these teams.
When does the
he might be the biggest swing guy on any team in the West.
When does Michael Porter take the vaccine for COVID conversation happen?
Jesus Christ. can I get where's the prop on him mentioning herd immunity at some point?
Oh no. Oh no.
When asked if he needs to get it because everybody else is getting it.
I mean, this is a guy who has been quoted as saying, "I've never been vaccinated in my life."
Which is weird, because like, don't like a lot of, like, youth sports things require some of that stuff?
I don't know.
Has that changed in recent years? Like, I swear when I was a kid, you had to at least have like the MMR and stuff.
Maybe he has and just like didn't know what a vaccination was. Like, maybe that's...
Well, he was like six.
Yeah, right. Like, totally cool. But, yeah.
No, I'm with... Hey. Storylines to watch for Denver come April.
Seriously, someone like Bovada is going to release a player
we'll have odds.
Of will Michael Porter receive the vaccine?
We'll have odds.
And Michael Porter Jr. is a very talented basketball player who has the ceiling to be a top 10 player in the NBA at some point, by the way. Like, Michael Porter is so good. He's so talented. And God, am I terrified of where this goes. Let's talk about a different kind of performance than what we're talking about with the NCAA tournament. They want to help your performance in the bedroom. Joy Mode, you know, just like on the basketball court, sometimes you might have an off night. Maybe you're playing okay and you want to take your game up a level even. That's where Joy Mode is going to come in. Don't grab some over-the-counter pills that you see at a gas station. They're going to often contain unregulated chemicals, suggest unsafe doses, carry the risk of several other health problems down the road. That's why we've partnered with Joy Mode. Whether you're looking to spice up your intimate moments or increase your confidence in the bedroom, Joy Mode makes all natural and science-backed supplements dedicated to helping men perform better across their core functions. Their trademark product, the Sexual Performance Booster, is every man's solution for increased performance. It's like a pre-workout, but for sex. And get this, all ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals and researched in humans. Imagine this, it comes in a palm-sized packet, like your favorite electrolyte powder. Just simply mix it with 6 to 8 ounces of water 45 minutes before sexual activity begins, and you're going to watch the magic unfold. Redefine your intimacy and go to use joymode.com for 20% off with code GAMETHEORY. That's GAMETHEORY. That's 20% off and free shipping with code GAMETHEORY. Not only is this the only supplement you'll need in the bedroom, but it also supports blood vessel support, cardiovascular and heart health, athletic performance, blood pressure, and general erection function. So why settle for anything less? Whether you're happy or unhappy with your performance in the bedroom, why not perform even better with Joy Mode? Anyway, next up here, we've got the Dallas Mavericks. They're sitting here 42.5. Mm-hmm. That's a robust
number.
It's a big number. Dallas last year won 43 games in 75 games, though. So this would be a little bit of an improvement for Dallas. I am hesitant on this number. This is not a bet for me. But if I had to lean one way, I would say over. Where are you sitting on the Dallas Mavericks?
We will disagree. I'm going to lean under.
Okay.
Again, like, I don't think it's not a bet for me. I know it's not a bet for me. But here's my thing. I don't think Kristaps plays a lot this year.
Okay.
I think they're going to tread real lightly with that knee, as they probably should. And if Kristaps doesn't play, like, Luka's phenomenal. I like the Josh Richardson addition for them. Actually, that was one of those trades where I was like, I see this for both teams, which is always nice when that happens. Because that's, like, should be the goal of a trade. It's like everybody gets a little better. Like, yeah. Richardson brings them some defense on the perimeter they desperately needed. I think in the role he's going to be asked to play here rather than Philly, it fits him better. But I like their roster. I think they're a solid playoff team, but I think this might be a touch high.
This is a stay away from me for the reason that you said, because of Kristaps. I think the number is pretty close, to be honest. Mm-hmm. If Kristaps is going to play 60 games, which is aggressive.
That's very aggressive.
It's an over.
I agree with that. I am fairly confident that's not going to happen. Because he's not ready to, he's not going to be ready to go for the start of the season.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, he is not playing back-to-backs.
No chance.
So I think you're talking about maybe 50 games. I wouldn't be surprised if it's closer to like 45 for Kristaps this year.
It could be less than that too, by the way.
Yeah, and like it might take a long time for him to get back. And like the thing is, they're going to be solid without him, but like it does take away such a dynamic really on both ends of the floor for what they do that it does concern me.
Who starts at center for them without Kristaps?
Kleba.
You think they'll go Kleba at the five? Because Dwight Powell's hurt, obviously. Like, Dwight Powell would have been the guy.
I mean, maybe. I think it. Here's the cop-out answer is it'll be matchup dependent. I think they go small with Kleba when they can, and when they absolutely have to, it'll be Willie.
Please, for the love of God, give me Bubs.
I would love it. Don't get me wrong. I think they'll start Willie over him.
Yeah, that's probably right. How many points can Luka Doncic force feed Boban Marjanovic if Boban plays
30 a night?
25 a night, let's say.
25 a night? 18-5.
He really might like drop like 17 a game.
I mean that's, like here's the thing is like Boban has preposterous offensive touch.
Yeah.
Like people he's not a gimmick.
And hands. Like his hands are unbelievable.
And he swallows the basketball whole. And he also, he's one of the rare guys that plays as tall as he actually is.
Yes.
Because he never brings the ball down.
Yeah.
Because of those hands. He doesn't have to worry about gathering the basketball. If you throw him the ball where he catches it by the rim, he turns and drops it in the rim. It never comes down to his shoulders, much less his waist.
Yeah.
He's a freak. Like, not because he's tall, because he is one of the most skilled individuals on the offensive end that you'll see at that size ever. Like, he's got the touch. Like, we know he can shoot a little bit, but really it's just the fact that when he catches an offensive rebound or he catches a pass at the rim, he just turns and drops it in and never brings it down to where mortals can fucking grab it.
I mean, like, I'm just, like, fascinated to see what happens with Dwight Powell because, like, The Mavericks are like planning to play him this year. Like he's healthy, apparently. They're saying he's healthy.
Yeah.
But Dwight is a guy that like he relied on his bounce mm-hmm. and his ability to play in pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's gonna go well, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit worried about Dwight Powell right now.
Always yeah, I mean it's always concerning for guys coming off that injury. Yeah, I mean, look, like this is a good roster. I don't think it's a great roster.
They're going to be a lot better on defense, though. Do you? Are you one of those people that believes that Luka Doncic will just have a top three offense in the NBA for the rest of his career? That's kind of what it comes down to for me. Because if you think that, they're going to be better enough defensively.
Sure.
To where they're going to win more games than they won last year, which would push them over on this. But if you don't believe that and you think that he needs Kristaps to space the floor and
I think he still needs Kristaps to do to be at that level. To be at the level they were at, I think you still need Kristaps on the floor. I think he will never be without like a top 10 unit, no matter who's around, for sure. But I do think that they take a step back without Kristaps.
I agree. Kristaps was awesome to end the year last year.
He was so good. And like, but look, like neither of them were like hyper efficient 3-point shooters because of the volume. But like what he does spacing wise that no one else on that roster can do
and the way that they can just terrorize you and pick and pop, pick and roll, like they got on such a good like symmetry level and like synchronicity. It's gonna be like he and Luke is the type of guy that can find that with a lot of guys,
yeah.
but like they're just not as skilled as Kristaps to do everything at three levels, you know, like. You can work all kinds of action with Kristaps. You can't necessarily do with Kleyba and some of these other guys. So, especially like somebody like Cauley-Stein who can just go to the rim. So yeah, like I think the offense won't be as good. They're still going to be really good. Luka's rightfully the favorite for MVP. He's going to put up preposterous numbers.
Yeah.
But I think it's a slight under just because I don't think Kristaps plays. But again, I'm not betting it.
I'm going to say slight over, but again, not betting it.
A little disagreement.
Yeah.
Always healthy.
We've had some fun disagreements so far. On this Western Conference one, at least.
Yes.
Okay. The Utah Jazz. 42.5. Where are we at on the Utah Jazz here? The Utah Jazz won 44 games last year in 72. Yep. In 72. Mm-hmm. I think this number's dead on.
that's where I'm at. Wouldn't be surprised if they won 44 again and were the exact same. I mean, here's the thing is like they were really good with Bojan.
Yeah.
Like he fit really well with what they wanted to do. I feel good about Donovan Mitchell. Like, he's not going to be as good as he was in that series in the bubble, but, like, I did see him take a step, and, like, I got to talk with him a couple weeks back for something, and, like, we talked about this off air before the Eastern one, but, like, one of the things I always ask is kind of, like, what are you working on in your game, and, like, kind of, like, what do you feel you need to get better at? And Damian Lillard gave me the best quote I've ever gotten on this, like, a week ago. But Donovan was able to pin. He was like, I'm really working on becoming a better facilitator. He's like, I feel like I did a little bit better with that in the bubble, but like I know that's where I have to be better. Not a lot of guys are willing to necessarily say that, and that you're willing to say that tells me you actually understand what you need to get better at.
Yeah.
I hate when guys tell me I'm working on everything because sure. I can get better at everything. Okay, but do you know what you actually need to get better at? Can you articulate that to me? Because that's important. Because that tells me if you're actually introspective and willing to watch your film and accept criticism, or whether your idea of getting better at everything is like, I'm going to be a better shooter. And so like that, I think Donovan will be a touch better next year. I think he's continuing to get better. He's a little more efficient. Becoming better on the ball. I think Mike Conley will be better. He started to look more like Mike Conley. He was awful at the beginning of the year. And that gives me hope. But again, like the rest of the West has kind of caught up to the Jazz, you know? And for that reason, I think they're right in that 41 to 44 range, and I don't want to take either side.
Is this a situation where we mentioned for the Eastern Conference that getting to play more teams against the West is going to hurt them? With Utah, they're going to get to play more games against the East this year,
mm-hmm.
which means fewer games, particularly against a good Oklahoma City team, a good Portland team, and a good Denver team.
Yes, that's helpful. That's nice. Higher percentage of your games are against the Knicks than ever before.
Anytime
that's a winning proposition.
Anytime that can happen, that's a win.
Yeah, no, it's that same principle. And so, like, I think I might nudge and lean ever so slightly over because I think they're probably the same team they are last year, and that was 44 wins. But, like, I would never bet this.
Yeah, so you get hopefully a full year of Jordan Clarkson. I think that all their guys, like, aren't really sit-out threats.
It's Jordan Clarkson time, baby.
There's no player that Robbie Callum loves more than Jordan Clarkson.
My guy.
Have you ever had a tweet more viral than the Jordan Clarkson tweet?
I think I have one going right now. That is.
Really?
I did a Not Another Teen Movie meme about... It's the Jake Weiler looking at a picture of Jake Weiler looking at a picture of Jake Weiler.
And I was like, when the social media managers retweet the account they run from their personal account, and it's bussing. It's got like 20,000 likes. But I will say the Jordan Clarkson is the one I'm most proud of because, like, it's like capped at like 5,000 retweets and like 7,000 likes, but the same 5,000 people retweeted over and over.
That's a good point.
That's what I love. It doesn't have the wide spread of some of my other ones that I've had. Like, I had a Cam Newton Batman villain one that popped off one time, but like, the Jordan Clarkson one is by far the one that gets brought back the most, and I'm proud of that. It's my legacy.
It's my legacy.
It's my legacy. It's Jordan Clarkson time.
So, full season of Jordan Clarkson. You get a full season of...
It was really good for them.
A big thing is you get a full season of true center minutes between Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. Right.
I like that move. I think, like I said, lean over, but again, with the rest of the West being as good as it is,
yeah,
scares me. But like you said, the getting more games against the East is always helpful.
Yeah. Portland Trailblazers, 41
oh,
and a half.
Boy. Oh, boy.
So this is a 7-win improvement for them to go over. I think it's dead on.
I'm with you. Look, here's the thing. Portland is one of these teams. So we're going to talk about Portland, Phoenix, Golden State, a lot of these teams that I think have just such a wide variance of outcomes I would believe happening. And when that happens, I just can't bet a number. You know?
See, like,
I think the median for Portland is right in here. They're a team that – they're one of these teams that I talk about every year as being a team that always plays hard in the regular season. You know Dame's going to play a ton.
Yeah, Dame's not going to miss games if he doesn't have to.
CJ's going to play a ton. It's a question of, can Nurk play a lot? Because they need him to play. They need Nurk on the floor a bunch. Because, like, behind him, you're talking about Cantor, and you're talking about Zach Collins, who's solid but doesn't give him the same things.
And Harry Giles.
And Harry Giles, who is still a mystery bag, I think, at, like, what he is on a good team. Right?
So
we still got to learn that.
The thing that worries me is not the center position, actually. Like, I think they have enough depth at center to withstand Nurkic playing 55 games.
I think defensively it's a question.
Defensively, totally, because the one thing we know about Harry Giles is that he's a fucking atrocious defender. But, sure,
and so that's the problem is, like, if your rotation zone becomes Zach Collins, Cantor, and Giles, that's bad.
Yeah, it's scary. I do like Harry Giles within that scheme.
Sure.
Offensively, because he runs the dribble handoff stuff, he can really pass. Like, mm-hmm. He can be like what Mason Plumlee was for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that worries me, I'm actually going to say slightly over on this one as well.
I like Portland a lot.
Yeah.
I think they did a really good job this offseason.
I think that what they improved upon was exactly what they needed to improve upon. They still have Zach Collins to play the four. They went out and got Derek Jones Jr. They went out and got Robert Covington, who's going to start at the four now. That pushes Zach Collins, hopefully, into more of a 4-5 hybrid role as opposed to just being the four, which I think fits his skill set better. Now,
100%, you push Melo to the bench.
You push Melo to the bench. This is a really, really good, really, really good roster now. And Gary Trent Jr. took an enormous leap midway through last year. You're going to get a full season of good Gary Trent, I think.
I hope so. They don't have a backup point guard.
That's the thing that worries me. What happens if...
when Dame's not on the floor.
Dame's not on the floor. What happens if CJ gets hurt? What happens if Dame gets hurt? If Dame gets hurt, they have no chance anyway.
Oh, well, I mean, that's always cooked into this. But, yeah. Like, there are certain guys that, like, have injury issues that you talk about that, and like it has to be factored in. And then there's certain guys that you're like, you're screwed, but you can't really like cook that into the numbers because you could say that about Tomega. You know, it's like it's the same thing with like Jokic, like, but like Jokic just doesn't get hurt because of the way he plays. Like Dame is obviously a higher risk because of that, but like he's still a low risk guy because he always plays a ton of games and plays through stuff. And he told me he doesn't want to rest. Like, he was like, we had 4 months off for the bubble. Why would I not play? I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insinuate anything. I love Dave.
I do, too. He's the best.
He's one of my favorite guys to talk to in the league. He's honest as hell.
Yeah, I've never talked to Dave, to be honest.
He's terrific. He also has a piercing stare when you talk to him. Ooh.
Because he's actually paying attention to you.
It's terrifying. I'm not used to it.
It's, yeah. I need to speak to Dame at some point.
I'm telling you, I did a Zoom with him like a week ago. It was great. One of my favorite interviews I've done recently. Read it on Dime. There's a little plug. Look at me.
Look at you. You're doing plug well.
I did a journalism.
You did a journalism. Shout out to
really,
Robbie
not
doing
really.
A journalism.
It was a brand interview through Gatorade, but it was still great stuff.
Okay. So this team has wing depth now. They have big depth. I think
they have Anfernee Simons.
Yeah, that's a little scary. But you could convince me that this team wins the Northwest.
Sure.
If Denver isn't totally healthy and Utah just continues to be Utah within like that 3-4-5 range, right? You could convince me that Portland gets much better defensively with Yusuf Nurkic playing a full season, with Covington being a perfect fit for that scheme, with Derek Jones Jr. being able to come off the bench and being a perfect fit for that scheme. They have a chance to be like a league average defense this year after they were 28th in defense last year. Right.
By the way, they are +325 at BetOnline for the Northwest Division. Denver is EV. Utah is +210.
Like, Portland is really, really good. I'm almost convincing myself of like bet the over on Portland, but I think it's just a lean for me.
Mm-hmm. I also like part of the thing that scares me is it's so trendy.
It is. It is.
Usually part of the reason I like Portland is people are going against them.
Yeah.
And it is now trendy to like Portland, and I'm afraid of that.
Yeah.
And the people might just be right. Because they are. Like, the roster, I really like it. They have the depth at everywhere but point guard. And that point guard, they have a guy that is happy to play 38 minutes a night.
Well, and I'll be honest, the thing that scares me right now is, like, I have over for five of the six teams we've talked about so far.
Yeah. But again, this goes back to, like, we have a lot more unders on the East, I feel like.
Yeah, we do.
And that goes from the schedule imbalance compared to usual.
Right, and the problem is that I'm going to go over on Phoenix next, too.
Hey, same.
Like, Phoenix.
I got someone, but this is why I had Dallas under, too, because I think they didn't get better the way everybody else around them got.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Phoenix is 38.5. They won 34 games last year in 73. So let's say 33.5 they won. So they have to improve by 6 wins. I think that the Chris Paul, Devin Booker mix is just going to be ridiculous in every single capacity. They got one of the 10 to 15 best players in the league. And that shouldn't be discounted. And they're going to pair him with a player who is rapidly improving in Devin Booker. Mikal Bridges is rapidly improving as a wing stopper. DeAndre Ayton has a real chance to average 23 points a game this year because Chris Paul is going to feed him buckets. And then they got Jay Crowder. They went out and got Dario Saric. Like, this roster makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. They have Javon Carter, my son.
I love
Javon.
Am not going to quite bet this number because I'm too worried about Chris Paul and soft tissue injuries, because if he gets one, that's going to knock him out for a third of the season instead of like a quarter of the season. And it is a very big concern with a number like this.
Sure. I still go over, because here's the thing. Like, what, they won 33 last year?
They won the equivalent of like 33.5. Yeah,
33.5. And like, obviously some of that is cooked in with like an 8-0 run in the bubble that maybe is hard to replicate. But I think even if Chris Paul misses some time, and he's going to miss some time, I still think they can go over. And it's for the Chris Paul deal was huge. In part because, like, here's the thing. Ricky Rubio was really solid for them last year. And they were able to go out and get someone better who does all the things Ricky does, but better.
Yeah.
And they bring him in, and they did so without giving up a ton. You give up Kelly Oubre, who didn't play a lot for Phoenix, who was good for them. But if you're talking about who they really wanted to play going forward, it was going to be Mikal. Like, you want Bridges playing. So you clear up a little space for him, but you also bring in some quality vets that can kind of take some of the load off when Chris Paul is gone. You have Langston Galloway. That was a sneaky, really good pickup.
Yeah.
You have Etuan Moore, another sneaky good pickup. The thing that I love, and I wrote something about this, the thing I love about what Phoenix has done is they had a plan. When was the last time the Phoenix Sun had a plan and executed it? They had an idea of the players they wanted to get. They fit the coach. Monty Williams wants guys who think defense first, and they got those guys. Jay Crowder, Langston Galloway, good defender. Etuan Moore, solid. You know, especially when he's your ninth man. Like, that's just a good, solid guy. He can shoot from the corner, that sort of thing. You got guys that are going to play defense, and Monty Williams loves that. Javon Carter. Like, Monty Williams loves Javon Carter, maybe more than me, which I didn't know was possible. When I talked to Monty for a Javon Carter thing last year at camp, because they come up the Flagstaff, or they used to, before pandemics, I like asked him about Javon, and like I've never seen a man light up like that. And he was like, oh, he's a dog. He eats rocks. And he loves that stuff. And like he's built an identity on a team that hasn't had an identity in like a decade. And that excites me about the Suns, because there was a foundation last year, and it started with getting guys like Rubio and Baines in the door. You had to have those guys. They leave, and there is the question of depth behind DeAndre Ayton. But you have to remember, DeAndre Ayton missed 25 games to start the season because of the suspension, and they won 34. I really do. This is one of my favorite numbers in the West. I'm a believer. For all those reasons, Chris Paul makes everybody on the roster better, including Devin Booker. For everybody that's like, oh, but what about, you know, when Chris Paul played with Harden and like there was some awkward, I'm like, Devin Booker is not James Harden. Devin Booker enjoys playing off the ball some. He's looking forward to this. He's going to be involved. He's not going to stand 35 feet from the hoop and not help like James when Chris Paul had the ball. It's going to be really, really fun. I'm in on the Suns.
I'm in on the Suns too.
I understand trepidation.
I just can't.
It's a jump, but I think it's a 40-win team. Minimum. I believe.
Look, I think they, like, if you made me predict a number, I would say right around 40. Like, I would have set this number at 39.5 as opposed to 38.5. I'm saying slight over, but I can't pull my trigger on betting that number. Because if Chris Paul goes down, I do not believe in Javon Carter as much as you do offensively.
I love Javon. But the thing is, I don't think they have to, you know, like you got Langston who can play some point, and like I think they've filled that need more than just with Javon. So like I think they can still win games, not the same clip, obviously, but I think they can withstand that more than if Ayton goes down, they're in trouble. That's the bigger trouble spot for me. But I think I'm not terribly concerned about that.
Okay, let's go to the Golden State Warriors.
Woo, a team I want nothing to do with.
36.5. I want nothing to do with this number.
No, thank you. I'm fascinated by this team. I don't want to bet anything on them. I can't predict what's going to happen. I have no idea. They could be awesome because it's Steph. Or, like, who knows? Or they could still be not a great team around him. I don't know.
I think I would cautiously bet under because if Steph or Dre go down,
it's a tough scene.
This becomes a problem in a hurry for them.
100%.
I think there's a chance they win 50 games because Stephen Curry and Draymond Green are incredible and they can maybe bring something out of Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre. Like, there's a world where this really works. Mm-hmm. I can't quite get there.
Yeah. I feel you. I mean, like, I think people are maybe a little further down on Wiggins than they should be in the situation he's going to be in. Again, this is all pending Steph. I think Oubre is a fine fit. I think that was a good kind of like scramble mode move with Clay being out. The Clay thing's just such a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, I was so excited to see what this team could do, but like, it's like he is what, probably one of the five most beloved guys in the league. and like he just goes down and just puts such a damper on stuff. And like they're gonna have to play James Wiseman. And like, how much can he impact winning right away? I don't know. Like, where's Dre at right now? Like, there's a lot of questions. I don't want to. I'm not gonna sit here and like say they can't be good, because like I'm not stupid enough to doubt that Steph could be awesome again this year and just torch everybody and carry this team to 40.
There's a chance that he has his highest per game scoring numbers ever.
No doubt. I think he has to for them to have a chance at being like not in the play-in. Because that's the really interesting thing this year is like you're not just playing for top eight. You're basically playing for top six.
Yeah.
And then you're playing for 7-8 and that sort of thing. But like top six is, and boy, it's hard to – that's a hell of a path to take for the Warriors, because we already talked about seven teams and we like the over on a lot of them. So I'm with you, but fascinating team. I want nothing to do with betting wise.
Okay. We're both staying far away from the Warriors. We're up to one of my favorite numbers of the year. New Orleans Pelicans, 36.5.
High.
This seems way too high to me.
High, especially when we talk about how so many teams in the West got better. And I think it's possible.
How is this number higher than the Houston Rockets?
We're going to get to the Rockets. I have some thoughts.
And I don't even know that I love the Rockets over, but I am staggered that this number is higher than the Rockets.
Yes. Boy, they're buying in on the Zion bump. But Zion's health is a real question. Like, can he stay healthy for the whole year? Genuine question. And on top of that, like Bledsoe's fine, but like he's not as good as Drew. Like he's good. He's a good regular season player. So like that's what matters for this. But like
they're expecting the Pelicans to win seven more games to go over after losing their best player.
Yeah, and like
in losing him for
Steven Adams,
mostly future value.
Yeah, this is way too high. I like this.
Like. And look, you can make the case. Zion Williamson is going to play 65 games versus 24. Okay. I think that's actually like an interesting case to be made. I don't. Mm-hmm. And look, Derek Favors was.
It was not pretty.
Derek Favors like was close to washed last year. Like that's kind of the sneaky thing for that Utah pickup with Favors. Like Derek Favors was not very good last year.
He was not. But at least there it's going home. So theoretically, he might be able to get it back.
But I don't think the leap from Derek Favors to Steven Adams is enormous. For this roster, particularly.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see how that fit goes. And they're convinced it's going to work because they gave the man some more money. I don't know.
Eric Bledsoe and Lonzo Ball has a chance to be a great defensive backcourt. You have Steven Adams, who's going to be a good offensive player or a good defensive player in the center for them.
Stan's going to just raise their defensive abilities just by the fact that he's good at coaching defense.
Yeah, there's like a real chance that they have a top 10 defense next year, even though they were not very good defensively last year.
Also because like I feel like Stan's actually going to have a plan for how to deploy Zion on that end.
Yes, agree.
Rather than trying to have Zion play a role he's never played.
Yeah, and like Zion,
I remember watching,
was a good defender at Duke.
Well, and that's the thing. I remember watching him play in the preseason, and I was like, he still wants to roam. That's the thing he's best at.
Yep.
And they were trying to put him into like very firm man-to-man principles, and he has a wandering eye for the basketball. So you got to play to that. That's a strength. That's what he's best at. Help side, jumping stuff. Don't have him trying to lock in on somebody. He's going to get beat back door all the damn time.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I know, dog. It's been a long podcast.
I don't know how this team gets efficient offense is actually my question.
It's a very good question.
Because Brandon Ingram and Zion, like, I totally buy them as 20 plus point per game scorers this year, like 100%. I think Zion probably does it on similar shooting to what he did this year, like 58, 60% from the field, because I think Zion is still just like an absolute fucking stud.
Yeah.
But beyond those two, Lonzo is not really a half-court creator. Eric Bledsoe is not really a half-court creator. J.J. Redick's a spacer and is, I think, still pretty drastically underrated league-wide because he's a podcaster now. But, like,
yeah.
I just don't know where the shooting comes from to space the floor for the guys that they need to space the floor for.
Yeah, it's a weird roster that is David Griffin's clearly still kind of retooling. And it's interesting to have them at an over 500 number for what is in the finished product. At all. I'm with you. I like the under here.
Let's move on. Mm-hmm. To the Houston Rockets, who you have takes on.
I do, actually.
34 and a half is this number, by the way.
I like the over.
Sell me on it.
All right, let's talk about this. Okay, so here's the thing. I get it. Okay? The James Harden panic, all of this. I don't think Harden gets traded before the deadline. Or at least before the beginning of the season. I just don't think it's going to happen. Like, I know he's trying and he's doing his best to get out. But also, like, Harden's just going to play, and he's going to play his game. And that makes you a good team. They also still have a solid roster. We don't know what John Wall is. Who knows? That's a wild card. I understand that. But Christian Wood was a nice pickup. Like, they got some guys. Eric Gordon's still there and still good. P.J. Tucker's still there and still good at what P.J. Tucker does. And, like, I get it. Like, but here's the thing. Houston has never really thrived on the fact that they are a good chemistry bunch. I'm not worried about the fact that, like, ooh, it's going to be awkward in the locker room. It's been awkward in the locker room for, like, the entire Harden tenure. Right? It was awkward when he had Dwight. They won some games. It was awkward with Chris Paul. They won games. It was probably awkward with Russ. We don't know a ton, but, like, clearly, that didn't work out great. They won a bunch of games. James Harden makes you win games. James Harden plays all the time. And he plays a lot. As long as he's there, they'll be fine. On top of that, they are not asking, based on what it appears, for a extremely future-facing deal. They want someone established along with picks. If you look at the teams that seem most likely to make a trade, any return they get is still going to be good. They're going to get good players for James Harden. Even if it's the Nets package of Dinwiddie, LeVert, Allen, and a billion picks or whatever. That's still going to be a good basketball team. 34 and a half?
They're not good enough to win 34 and a half with that team, I don't think. I'm saying
that's not happening until the deadline, at the earliest.
Yeah, I think
in my estimation.
I think that even if it happens then, it's they're fucked playing in the West. Like that's just not going to be good enough to get.
But you play all those East teams. We talked about this.
But that's like a 25 win team, I think.
I don't know. Like I just think. And like honestly, and like that. Look, like they might just not be willing to take that. But the thing is, that particular package, which is by far like not a good one. Like I think we can agree. But even that, like they're solid players you're giving back. You're not going to suddenly become the worst team. And they won't take that package until it's absolutely clear they can't get anything else, and that would be the deadline. If they take something before that, they're getting someone. That's like legit good. And not James Harden good, obviously, but they're going to get somebody good. And I just like...
Are you convinced of that? Because I'm not. Like, I wonder if they would rather take a like package of player or take a package of picks that's like super high upside, like amazing future draft capital stuff?
I don't think so. I part of it is because I don't think that lines up with the teams that he wants to go to. Right? Like, if he wants to go to the contender, who? What contender has draft capital? The most interesting draft capital place he could go is New Orleans. For, like, an Ingram plus whatever at the deadline.
That sounds exceptionally fun.
Right? I mean, like, first off, yes. Okay? Give me James Harden and Zion. That'd be funny as hell. Secondly, okay. Like, that is the future-facing move, right? It's New Orleans. Because, like, that's a team that's at least kind of good, that might be willing to give up some stuff for Harden. But, like, if you're talking about Boston and you're talking about Philly, like, they don't have the amazing picks that are going to make you just dive all in on a future pick stash thing. Like, they just don't. Because if you give them Harden, their next three picks are not going to be good. So that's not real valuable. Next three, next four, whatever. So, like, I think they get a good player. I really do. And I think if that happens, it's kind of like how what I was saying about OKC last year.
But there's no way that that player is going to be anywhere near good enough to get them over this number, I don't think. Like, if they lose James Harden, you're losing the guy who's like the ultimate. The idea here is like what we talked about with Washington with Russell Westbrook, right? That James Harden is going to be a top six offense in the NBA unto himself. So he is the ultimate floor raiser for this team, right?
Yeah, I get it.
There's just no way that like they can recover from that, I don't think, right?
I think it won't be as bad as people think. And like maybe I could be incredibly wrong. But I do think that whatever they get back is just because of the money that you have to make work. And because Harden's not getting traded for like salary dump contracts, even if they move him for like an expiring star, like because Tillman wants to save some money next year or whatever, you know, like that's always a thing. I don't know. Like I think they could be perfectly fine. And like, hey, maybe John Wall's fine. Probably not. But maybe? I don't know. That's always there too, with what you get back. I don't know. I just feel like this number's super low, and like I always like one like buy low team.
So here's the reason that if I'm gonna stay away from this number.
That is probably smart.
Because there's too much uncertainty in Houston right now. The whole thing's a fucking train wreck.
That's fair.
And honestly, like, when the whole thing is a train wreck, you should probably go under at the end of the day.
But see, again, I don't think chemistry matters in Houston because they've never had it. This is my strongest belief, which is they have never had chemistry in Houston, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I get that.
And actually, trading James Harden might create good chemistry with whoever comes in because it won't be worse. Anyway, please continue.
So, I'm staying away, period, at the end of the day. But if your suspicion is that James Harden is going to stay this whole season, and my suspicion is that he will, and that he won't hold out.
Very possible, yeah.
I think you go over on this number. If you think...
Well, and that's the thing. And I think there's a very good chance that happens. But on top of that, I think there are paths in the alternative of a deadline deal to them still getting over. And as such, I actually like it. I think there's more than a 50% chance of either him staying or the few deals that happen still keep them over the number, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'll bet this.
I'm going to stay away. I'm 100% staying away.
That is the smart thing to do. You are the voice of reason here, Sam.
You got to talk with the emotion. You got to go for it, Robbie.
Sometimes, look, man, we're in hour three.
I love it.
Fired up about something.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
Apparently the Houston Rockets. I do not have nearly as much passion about the Memphis Grizzlies.
30 and a half is this number. The Memphis Grizzlies last year won 34 games in 73 games. So like 33 and a half, let's say. So the number is 3 games lower than what they won last year.
Yeah.
The over here would be anticipating real improvement from Ja Morant, real improvement from Jaren Jackson, real improvement from Brandon Clark, while also maintaining that Taylor Jenkins may just be like an unbelievable coach. I think he's genuinely got a shot to be a top 10 coach in the NBA at some point. I think he's really, really good.
He's quite good.
I'm a little bit skeptical. Because this is still a very young team, and I think they played over their head for the first part of this season.
Yes.
Last year.
Yes.
I'm staying away from this number. I think it's about right. Mm-hmm. Where are you at on the Memphis Grizzlies Same. Coming into this year?
Same. I would maybe lean under. Because here's the thing. If we talk about like teams with a guy they cannot afford to lose, Jaren Jackson Jr. is that guy in Memphis. They rely heavily on him.
Well, and Ja Morant is that guy.
Well, and Ja Morant, but like Ja's apparently built like Gumby and can just crash through things and bounce up. But certainly plays a style that terrifies you. Like they should have, you know, like, how they have like the guy that like folds the crash pad down under the hoop for the dunkers off the trampoline.
Yeah.
Memphis needs that guy every time Ja goes to the rim. Just roll it out there. Please save the young man from himself. Anyway. But Jaren's thing is like he's battled a bunch of stuff and like I hope he stays healthy. They're so fun. I love this team. They're Draft Twitter's fever dream, all of that good stuff. Like, the roster's fucking hysterical. Just based on, like, everybody that, like, draft people are like, ooh, I like that guy. They're like, okay, we'll sign him. Like, it's great. But that also means they're super young. Just incredibly young. And, yeah, like, so many other teams in the West got good around them. And, like, I don't like this under nearly as much as the Pelicans under. But I would lean under. I think 30's pretty close to right, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're, like, 28, 29 wins. And, like, because, like, Ja might just be the exact same guy, and I think that makes things more difficult for them. And that would still be fine because he's still a good player. But, like, you know my development isn't linear rant.
I've
done it before. I'll do it again.
I'd be interested to see a number for who wins more games, Memphis versus New Orleans, given where these win totals are.
It could be a big number.
Like, I wonder if it would be, if you could get like 2-1 on Memphis winning more games than New Orleans.
Oh, probably. 6 games? Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be intriguing.
Because I think those teams are close. Like, I'm not saying that, like, it's guaranteed that Memphis wins more games.
But just from a value standpoint.
But from a value standpoint, like, given that there's 6 games difference here, if you can get 2-1 on your money there, that might not be bad.
I don't hate it.
I'm staying away, though. This is a good number, I think. 30 and 42, like, look, that's a – they were ahead of where they were supposed to be last year.
They were. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is not us hating on Memphis. I like their trajectory for the future.
They keep drafting guys that I love.
Yeah, but the West is fucking gross, man. Like, good luck.
Shout out two of my favorite people, Xavier Tillman and Desmond Bain.
And they were just like, okay, nobody wants these guys? Thank you.
They got the guy that I had at number 18 on my board for essentially 2 second round picks in Desmond Bane. It was very impressive. Yeah. They did exceedingly well at the draft, despite having like 0 picks.
Right. And they always seem to. And like,
again, that means their timeline is not this year, though.
Yes.
I think that's the thing that confuses people. Like, their timeline, they jumped ahead last year, but we kind of saw in the bubble when they had to play good teams all the time, there can be some struggles. They're going to play a lot of good teams in the West.
Yeah. Let's go to San Antonio.
Ooh.
I have no idea.
Neither do I. 29.5.
29.5 is a hard over if they keep DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge the whole year.
Yes, DeMar DeRozan, not the 82nd best player in the NBA.
No, that's fucking insane. DeMar DeRozan's really good at basketball.
He's an excellent basketball player. LaMarcus Aldridge, if healthy and on the team, very good. Derek White's good. Like, they have good players. Pop's still good. Like,
DeMar DeRozan last year averaged 22 points, 5 rebounds, almost 6 assists, with a 60% true shooting percentage and an 11% turnover rate.
Yes. Yes. He's excellent at basketball.
He's so good.
Like, tremendous. I'm with you. I would lean over. And the thing is, like, they've never... As long as Pop's there, they're not really, like, keen on, like, hey, we're going to rebuild. Like, they've never indicated they're going to do that. And, like, maybe they trade DeRozan. Maybe they trade Aldridge. Like, maybe Boston comes calling with that TPE for Aldridge or whatever. But I don't know. Like, they might just be like, hey, like, we can get to the play-in, and if it's win 2 games, we've got guys we feel can do that. I would lean over. I'm with you. The thing that scares you is the possibility that they do trade guys, but that has never seemed to be their MO.
But I think you have to wonder if it is this year, because...
And again, this is the year that feels like if they were ever going to do it, it's now.
Yeah. I kind of think that they're going to move both of them at some point, which is why I'm staying away from this number.
Sure.
I don't trust the Spurs to not move those guys. If they keep them, this is like a super fun team. Like, they can go and roll out, like, you know, DeJounte Murray, Derek White,
DeMar.
Well, like, I like the DeMar at the 4. Like, let's go, like, Devin Vassell at the 3, DeMar at the 4, and LaMarcus at the 5. Like,
sure. With Lonnie and Jakob off the bench, like, let's have some fun.
Or like Keldon Johnson at the 3, or Keldon, maybe
they got dudes that are good at basketball,
and they have like weird lineup versatility. Like, they're going to be, they are an underrated, super fun team to watch when DeMar is at the 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't discuss that enough.
Yes,
but they're actually like genuinely a really good time to watch when DeMar is at the 4. And if LaMarcus is healthy, LaMarcus is, for my money, maybe the most like underappreciated player of his generation, too.
He's up there. I mean, he's him. It's kind of funny because him and DeMar are both in that realm of like, oh God, this guy's in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
it's like, yes, he is, because he's an All-Star. Like, no, he's not. Do wild dunks and hucking threes, but like, he's really good at basketball.
Yeah. And like, they lost Bryn Forbes, and I like Bryn Forbes, as we talked about with Milwaukee on the last podcast. But this team is being projected to lose 3 more games than what it lost last year, with Bryn Forbes being like the only real loss. And if anything, they're going to get actual real internal development from DeJounte, Derek White, Keldon Johnson, mm-hmm. Jakob Poeltl, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, this would, and like, obviously the trade stuff is cooked into this number, but I don't hate the over.
Yeah. I'm going to lean over, but I'm going to stay away from this one. Just because I think that they probably are going to move some guys, because they're not competing for a title right now. So you should move your upcoming unrestricted free agents.
Yeah.
Sacramento Kings, 27.5. Mm-hmm. This is a team that last year won 31 games.
Yep.
It's tough for me to really buy into this being an overload.
They let the Bogdan walk for
nothing.
Nothing. Alex Len and Kent Bazemore are gone, and they were good for them at the end of the season. They added Hassan Whiteside, which, okay. Here's the thing. They fall into the someone's got to lose some games in the West category for me. Of the teams that think they should be able to try and win. I don't like that the biggest buzz coming out of camp is Jabari Parker.
Love it.
Instilling confidence in me. Like, it's like De'Aaron Fox is good. It's like, we knew that. I'm like, what else is new? And they're like, well, Jabari Parker looks good. I'm like, don't tell me that. Don't do this to me. What's the Marvin Bagley update? Can I get something on literally anyone else? Don't give me Jabari Parker buzz. I don't feel strong about the Kings. I won't bet it. I think this number's probably right. 27.
The big thing for me is, like, I think Luke is bad. Like, let's just be real.
Also a strong possibility.
Like, I don't think he's a very good coach, and that feels like a problem.
That's problematic when your only hope is internal development.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good. Okay. I think that's enough Kings talk.
Yeah. Shout out De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron's fun.
I love De'Aaron. I hope he's healthy all year. Super fun. I hope Marvin Bagley's healthy all year. Because I would like to see what he can do. You know? It's a bummer because they felt like an up-and-coming team 2 years ago. And it feels like we've taken another step back, which, like, has to be disheartening for the Kings fans. Like, it felt like you were on the right trajectory and now took a step back.
The Minnesota Timberwolves, 28.5. Do they have a chance to stop a soul defensively?
Who's worse at defense, them or the Wizards? I think it's Washington.
I think I'm going to say Minnesota.
No! Oh, this is thrilling. Really?
I don't know. I
mean, like the roster stuff, but like they... Ooh. Man, like what Washington's front court is paper mache on defense. And you add in Russ, who is going to create chaos maybe in the wrong direction. I don't know. At least Minnesota has Ricky.
That's true. And Minnesota has Okogie and Culver. Yeah, it's probably Washington. You're probably right.
The thing is,
the more I think about it, you're probably right that it's Washington.
Washington has bad defense everywhere. Minnesota has a non-existent rim protection. But they have, like, they can throw some lineups out there that can maybe play a little defense, because if you get Culver out there and Ricky and Okogie and, like, they're going to have to figure out how to slide those guys in. But, like, yeah. No, they're not. They're going to be a bottom five defense again. It's going to be Washington, Cleveland, Minnesota, probably the Knicks. Those four for sure in the bottom five. And somebody else.
The Cavs?
I said the Cavs.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, Cavs, Knicks, Wizards, Timberwolves. Hornets could be a struggle.
Hornets could be bad defensively, but Hornets, I think Borrego's pretty good.
Hawks could be bad, but I don't think they'll be that bad this year just because of Capella. I don't know. There's some contenders out there. Thunder could be, just because the Thunder suck.
Yeah, the Thunder just might be, like, atrocious.
They just might be awful. They just might be awful. So they'll probably be there. But, yeah, no, they will not stop anybody. Yes, they will score a lot. Yes, I'm fascinated to see what they do. No, I don't want to bet on them. It's probably under, though.
It's hard for me to go under on a team that has Karl Towns and D'Angelo Russell, like two like borderline all-stars in the West.
Correct. Karl Anthony Towns is the best shooting center in NBA history.
I think that I am going to say under.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, but I don't want to bet it.
But I don't want to bet it. That's a good number, I think, like for where they are.
Agreed. No, it's a very solid number. And again, this is a team that wants to win. They're going to try and win. The question is, how much does Anthony Edwards play? That is my question. Because you just spent the number one overall pick. If they play him like most people play number one overall picks, then you probably actually want to take the under.
Yeah.
But like, if they play him like 20 minutes a night, then they'll be better. But like, if he's getting 30 and they're pushing other guys to the periphery, tough scene.
Okay. The Thunder are up next. They're at 22.5. This is like a hard under for me. But let's play a game with the Oklahoma City.
Okay.
How many players can you name on the Oklahoma City Thunder roster?
I'm not looking. I do not have this up. Okay. You have Shea?
That's one.
Lou Dort?
Two.
George Hill?
Three?
Yeah, George Hill's on the roster, I'm pretty sure. For now. He will get traded. Because George Hill on a bad basketball team is not someone you want around. Trevor Ariza is on the Thunder.
That's true, four, but I don't think that's going to last long.
Another person you don't want on a bad basketball team. Mike Muscala is on the Thunder. Al Horford is on the Thunder.
That's the big one that I knew, six.
They traded Terrence Ferguson. He is not on the Thunder.
No. Hamidou Diallo.
Hami, yes. He is there. That's seven.
I believe TJ Leaf.
TJ Leaf.
Because didn't they trade him for Lequeel, who they got in the Chris Paul deal?
Noted NBA basketball player TJ Leaf is on. Good God.
I believe Admiral Schofield is on this roster because I think that they got him in the Cassius Winston deal.
Wow. Okay. Admiral, who didn't play a lot on the Wizards team last year, that was bad.
Oh, Darius Bazley. That's 10.
Yes.
I have one other one that I know.
Oh, Poku.
Oh, Poku. So I have two more Poku. That I know.
Oh, they got also in the Stephen. They got Darius Miller and Stephen Adams trade.
Oh, did they? Okay, so that's 12. Yes.
And Kenrich.
Okay, 13. My 14th was Ty Jerome.
Okay.
Who they got in the Chris Paul deal?
Okay. All right. Let's pull this up and see what's left. I'm interested to see here. Who have we missed? Josh Hall.
Yeah, the two-way. He's a two-way.
Justin Jackson is on this team. Oh. In the, he was part of the Ariza deal.
Yeah.
Frank Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Omer Yurtseven. I'm sure I'm butchering that.
No, you nailed it. That's he's E10, I think.
Okay. Isaiah Roby.
Oh, yeah, they got him last year, didn't they?
And Moses Brown on the two-way. They'll cut some of these guys, obviously.
Yeah, I think we've got like 20 so far.
But I'm pretty proud of it. We got like 12 guys. 12 or 13. Clean. That's a good job by us. Boy, that's a roster, isn't it?
There's no way that that team wins more than 10
especially,
games.
Especially because, okay. Who are their best players?
Shea. Period.
Shea, Al Horford.
I keep forgetting they have Horford, and Horford is a genuinely
good.
Good. Yeah.
And he's going to be, I think he's going to be good. And, like, he doesn't know how to do anything but, like, actually try to play basketball well. So those two, George Hill is probably the third best player, and he's gone soon. Like, has to be. Trevor Ariza also gone, and he's probably in your top five or six guys on the roster.
Yeah.
Baisley and Dort are probably next up on the list, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel good about that.
Kenrich and Hami?
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about you're going to have just a lot of shy. I think I've said his name like four different ways on this podcast already.
It's Shea.
I knew that. One day I'll get it. My apologies. Hour four of the podcast. Brain is mush. Lot of Shay, lot of Al, probably a lot of Baisley, just to see what they got, right? Like, just being like, do some stuff, kid. Yeah, man, this is an under. Because they're not going to trade anybody for anybody good.
No, they want the number one overall pick next year.
They want Cade.
Yeah.
By the way, Shay and Cade?
Give it to me in my veins right now.
I think Brian Schroeder will move to Oklahoma City.
I just moved to Melbourne, and I might move to Oklahoma City. Like,
that is just a powerful duo in the backcourt. A vision and strength, and everybody would, the people would love it. Yeah, so under here. Just because, I mean, we don't need to do anything else other than read off that roster.
Yeah, like whenever we have to play a game as professionals who work in this industry,
mm-hmm.
who is on this roster right now? And like, look, we got to 12. Like, we did well.
We did pretty well. We got like, I think maybe, yeah, we got like 12 or 14. Because like Poku was one that we just kind of...
But and, yeah. And, like, Baisley was 10th for us. Like, we should have got Baisley earlier. But, like, that's concerning.
It's not great. And I mean, like, it's like the funny thing is, I remember when they did the Dennis deal and the Chris Paul deal, I remember everybody being like, man, I can kind of talk myself into a Ricky Rubio, Al Horford, you know, Shay and Baisley and Dort, and like, I can talk myself into this. And then all of a sudden everybody, and Oubre, I can talk myself into this being maybe, you know, maybe competitive. And Sam Presti was like, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I won't have any of it. I won't allow it. He's like, stop being optimistic about my team. Yeah, they're rough, man.
This is where we're at. I think this is my favorite under, by the way. This is my favorite bet of the Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're like,
this number is too high by maybe like 8 wins.
they're gonna be awful.
Because there is like a non-zero chance Al Horford is washed. And if Horford is like actually washed, might be a single-digit win team.
No chance. In a 72-game season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's bad.
And new coach? Like,
oh. Yeah. This is a firm under. I'm with you. It's definitely the best under in the West. Because, like, that's the other thing is, like, they get to play East teams, but that doesn't help them.
Yeah.
Like, they're the team that, like, the Knicks are circling as, like, we can get to.
And I love so many guys on this roster. I love Shay. I love Poku. I love Lou. Baisley
is interesting.
Drastically exceeded expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Kenrich is, he was my highest rated undrafted player in that draft. Like, I want to be in. I want to be there. I'm not there. But they don't care. Like, this is not what they're trying to do. This is absolutely not, they're not trying to win games.
Nope.
Like, I'm just...
Here's the... That's the other thing I'll say about stuff like this is, like, when a team, when a front office tells you what the goal is with their moves, believe them. Like, last year, we both loved the over because we were like, this is a good basketball team.
Yeah.
They have real basketball players. And guess what? They were a good basketball team. We thought they might trade some guys, but we still like the over. They still would have hit the over if they traded everybody at the deadline last year.
Yeah.
But they're like, we don't need to do that. Chris Paul's value is not going anywhere. Who cares if we get a who cares if we get another pick for Gallinari? We can make the playoffs. That'll be good. Get some revenue, whatever. This year, they could have done the same thing if they kept everybody from the Chris Paul trade. And Al Horford and like if they had done that, if they had kept Oubre and Rubio and Horford, that would have told you, hey, we're still trying to kind of float in this range. They have made explicit the goal when they unloaded Ricky and unloaded Kelly, and they will unload George Hill, and they brought Trevor Ariza in, who is not going to be there. They have told you what the plan is. Believe them.
Over under December 25th.5 for Trevor Ariza being on this roster.
Under.
Over under December 25th.5 for George Hill being on this roster.
I can see that being an over.
I think that's going to be over. I think Ariza will be under.
Ariza is like genuinely a dude you just don't want in the locker room if he is not wanting to be there. Like, he is a very high variance guy. Like, on a good team, you're like, hey, Trevor Ariza. On a bad team, you're like, oh my God, no. Like, I've talked to some people with the Suns. It was not good. Not good. Didn't enjoy his time. But like Portland, it was like, hey, it's pretty good. Sacramento, not great. So, tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
And he chose to be in Phoenix and hated it.
Bloom payment!
That was a choice. Look how far the Suns have come from giving Trevor Ariza $15 million to hate life. to getting Jay Crowder to choose them over other teams at a reasonable contract.
I needed it.
How about it? How about those Phoenix Suns over 38.5? Circle the wagons.
Oh, man. Okay, to recap. The Lakers, I like the over, and I think I would consider betting on it. You are a stay away, but like the over.
Agree.
The Clippers, both over, and we both think it's a bet on the over.
Yes.
The Nuggets, I think that we both said totally stay away, but probably a, what did we say, slightly under?
I honestly don't remember. I think I might have said slight over, but I...
Yeah. You
I
said...
Think both, I think we both just said we're terrified of putting any faith in Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah. Slight over on the Mavericks for me. Slight under for you, Robbie. Slight over for both of us on Utah. Both pass on both Dallas and Utah. Lean over on Portland for both of us, but pass... Mm-hmm. Slight over for me on Phoenix, bet over for you on Phoenix.
Let's ride.
Golden State, we are staying as far away from as possible.
Least favorite bet on the board.
Yes. New Orleans, 36.5. We both really like the under. Houston, you are betting the over.
I'm a madman. I'm a madman.
I don't even think I gave an answer on the Houston over-under.
You're
like,
terrified of it.
Yeah, like that's the number I might like even less than Golden State's. Like, I think that my immediate reaction is over because James Harden's just enough of a ceiling raiser to get them to 500, but like, I don't feel great about that. Memphis, I think we both are a stay away, maybe a slight under.
Yep, Somebody's got to lose games.
San Antonio, we're both a slight over, but staying away because of potential for trades. Sacramento, we are both a slight under because someone has to lose games in the West. Minnesota,
and
we're
Luke Walton is there.
And Luke Walton exists. Minnesota is a slight under because someone has to lose games in the West and defense exists. And then
somebody needs to tell them.
And then Oklahoma City, 22.5. That is a bet over. If there's ever been one.
Yeah, we're hammering the under.
Our bet under, I'm sorry. That's like a
hammering the
under. No question under. That's a bet.
Send it in, Jerome.
Send it in, Sam. Oh my god.
Do they have like NBA futures at the books out there? Can you capture that?
I mean,
a local establishment?
Probably. Let's see. What do we got
to point?
What do we got to points bet? Let's take a look.
I know they've got more. It's more readily available.
I could points bet the Oklahoma City under probably.
Oh, what would you be willing to tease it down to? Where would you feel comfortable? I think 18.5.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, what number could you get for 4 wins?
For 4?
No. I mean, like, to drop it 4 wins from what it is, like 18.5. Like, what's the juice we can get on that?
Regular season wins. NBA totals, Oklahoma City on points bet is... Oh, no, they're off the board because they don't have a roster that's, like, full right now.
Cowards.
OKC is off the board right now for points bet, which, like, frankly...
Houston probably is, too.
Frankly, probably the right call. Houston's on the board. Houston's 34.5, yeah.
Okay.
I think everyone else other than Oklahoma City is on the board.
That's a real shame.
Which, like, again, frankly, probably the right call for any sports book, given the fact that we have no idea what this roster is going to look like in Oklahoma City by the end of it.
Yeah, I think they might do. I think Ariza is a partial guarantee, so I think they'll probably outright waive him, keep George Hill as a trade thing.
Well, wait. When did the Ariza deals get signed? Because don't you have to... Like, the way the trade rules are now, don't you have to, like, guarantee a certain number to, like, be able
to... Yeah, but I think it's only a partial guarantee of his deal, so they can, like, waive him for, like, $4 million bucks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, who gives a damn? They got to reach the floor somehow. Al Horford only makes so much.
Yeah, that's a good point. If they waive him, the salary counts against it. Yeah.
Yep. And, like, they'll just get him out of there, and then he'll sign somewhere closer to the trade deadline and just kind of parachute in.
Love it. Love that move for Trevor Ariza.
Absolutely. Hey, secure the bag Hall of Famer, Trevor Ariza.
He really is. Trevor Ariza.
He's made a lot of money.
How much money has Trevor Ariza made? Let's play that game to finish this podcast.
I think it's like $120 million.
All right. You are... So he's made 103 so far, mm-hmm. and then has whatever money he gets this time.
Like, it's his base is 12.8. Maybe it is all guaranteed. Christ, no, 1.8 million guaranteed. But I bet that bumped up in the trade. Okay. Yeah, he'll get waived, but good for Trevor. $100 million man.
Love it. I love it so much. Robbie, tell the people where they can find your work.
Uprock Sports, DimeMag.com, all that good stuff. We got the Punkcast for college football betting.
Punkcast!
If you want to find that on wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, including this one, the Game Theory Podcast with Sam Vecini, one of the best out there. Sam, it's a pleasure as always, man. We podcasted for 4 hours about NBA win totals, which might have gone under the projected total, actually.
Yeah, I think it did. Like, we're actually going to be right around, I think, like closer to 3 by the time this is all said and done. Like, this is a...
Proud of it. We had an internet outage here in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
For like 10 minutes. Yeah, man. We've done pretty well.
This is a win, Robbie. I'm glad that we do this yearly. It is one of my favorite podcast events every single year, is doing NBA win total over unders. It is the absolute best. And I'm so glad that we got to try and guess who is on Oklahoma City's roster right now.
I'm impressed with how we did.
Yeah.
We hit the over on what I would have projected. I would have put it at like 8.
Yeah, 8.5 was the good guess. This has been the Game Theory Podcast. Please remember, rate, review, subscribe, do everything you can to support the show. We will be back next week at some point. I'll talk to Matt Penny. I'll talk to some other folks. I have one guest that I've been trying to book for a little while, and I think I'm going to do that for a little preview content for the NBA season, which starts next week by the time that this has been published. But until next time, folks, we will talk soon. Bye.